Blog Talk Radio.
This ain't no ordinary world. This ain't no ordinary song, yeah. The God of self is greater than the ordinary. So I'ma give them all I have.
Yes, well. Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. Good morning and welcome to the Daily Fire Podcast, live on Blog Talk Radio. 15 minutes of hot manna for your soul with a new teaching, live prayer, altar call, and then ending with assigning your task for today. I am your host, evangelist, attorney, Rossi Williams, and God has a fired up word for you today. For today's Daily Fire Devotion, we are in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2, verse 9. Again, that is 1 Peter, chapter 2, verse 9 in the New Testament. While you're getting your Bibles ready, let me quickly remind you how to tune in and how to stay connected with me. On Monday through Friday mornings at 7 a.m. Eastern, when I am live here on Daily Fire, tune in by calling 323-870-4180 or online from my ministry website, rawsi.org, that's rawsi.org, or on blogtalkradio.com. But if you cannot tune in live at 7, still ensure that you don't miss your devotion and your growth by following the podcast. That way, the recording will be texted to you at 8 a.m. Eastern, and you can listen at any time. Follow by texting the message DF to phone number 33222. Again, that's text the message DF, D as in daily, F as in fire, to phone number 33222, and you'll receive a confirmation text, or follow online on blogtalkradio.com. And I welcome all of the new followers. Each day, God is expanding this ministry, which means that we are expanding his kingdom. So welcome to Daily Fire with me. Finally, you can follow me on social media using my name, Rossi Williams, R-A-W-S-I Williams, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. All right, you got it? Well, let's get into this word. We are in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2, verse 9, reading from the KJV. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Stay with me now. This is not going to go where you're thinking it's going to go. Let me read it again, and then I'm going to break it down with our topic for today. But ye, meaning you, everyone who's listening with me right now, who's called in, you, who's listening online, yes, you, who will listen to the recording later, you, brother, you, sister, are a chosen generation. God picked you. Despite all of your mess, despite all of your flaws, all of your deficiencies, all of your sin, despite anything you've done in the past, and understand that God knows the end before the beginning. So before you did these things, before I did these things, before you disobeyed, before I disobeyed, before you sinned, before I sinned, God already knew us. Because it tells us in Jeremiah 1-5, before you were even formed in your mother's womb, God knew you. But it says here in 1 Peter 2:9, that although he knew us, he still chose you. A chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Your lineage is from royalty. You are a king's kid, a holy nation. You're set apart. God has value in you, a peculiar people, someone who is strange because you are not a follower but a leader. You set precedent. You establish newness, that you should show forth the praises of him who had called you, that God's destiny and purpose should shine forth from you. His light should emanate and exude from the inside out. He's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Our topic for today's Daily Fire devotion is live the value that God already set for you. Isn't that good? Live the value. Glory. Live the worth that God already set for or on you. Brothers and sisters, so many times throughout our lives, we are living beneath our privilege. We are living beneath our value. And just to put it frankly, we're living beneath our worth. This could be for a myriad of reasons. It could be because all your life you've never known your worth. Your worth was never established. Maybe you lived in the poorest of neighborhoods, so the worth that was placed on you was no worth or little worth. Maybe you came from a family that had a bad name, or maybe your parents never accomplished anything, or maybe your parents called you names growing up and they told you that you're just like your no good daddy or just like your no good mama. Maybe they told you that I'm an alcoholic so you can't help but be an alcoholic, or your parents were in prison and their parents were in prison, so all that set out for you is a life of incarceration. Maybe your parents never were able to sustain marriage, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 marriages. So the worth that was set on you is someone who can never sustain a relationship. Maybe they were always broke. So the worth that was set on you is that you could never be more than broke. The devil is a lie. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, that I read unto you, God let you know the worth that he'd already established for you, that he'd already set for you. You are a chosen person. You're a royal person. You're a holy person. You're a peculiar person chosen by God himself to be used in the earth realm to show forth his praises. How can you do that? By the testimony of sustained success. When you are successful, you are able to testify to someone else how you made it over. When you are victorious, you're able to testify to someone else of how you broke through the bondage, how you broke through the glass ceiling of whatever had been placed on you spiritually and recreationally and financially and morally, how you broke the generational curse. How can you show forth the praises of God? How can you testify of his goodness unless you have experienced it? And how can you experience it except you live the worth? You live the value. You begin to understand who you are so that you will quit settling for less. You will quit letting people call you out of your name, and you will quit calling yourself out of your name thinking that's something special. You'll quit submitting to any kind of relationship. A man who won't treat you right, a woman who won't treat you right. You'll quit taking any kind of job. You'll quit accepting any kind of friends, toxic friends, jealous friends, envious friends, Friends who mean you no good, backstabbing friends who never have anything positive to say about you, for you, toward you, and to you, because you have no value to them. You have no worth to them. This is why your husband or your boyfriend feels comfortable cheating on you, because he is no good for a relationship and he doesn't value you because you don't value yourself. You keep letting him do it and letting him come back. He's publicly humiliated you, cheated on you. He's beating on you. He's calling you out your name. Everybody knows it. And you keep letting him come back time after time under the false or the misconception of that being forgiveness. Forgiveness releases the spiritual taint. It doesn't require you to release the natural consequences. That's called grace and mercy. You can forgive a person while also shaking the dust and letting them move on. You are not living the value that God has set out for you. You as a man, you're letting this woman cheat and misuse you, and she's laughing at you, and everybody's laughing because you don't know your own value. And because you don't know it, you're living every day beneath what God has established for you. Now, don't get me wrong. Setting and living your value doesn't mean that you are prideful or that you are rude, because the Bible teaches us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So living the worth that God has established for you does not mean that you're walking around on a self-righteous soapbox or always judging everybody else or pointing at everybody else, because you got skeletons, I got skeletons. Life has not been perfect because we have not been perfect in our humanity. We have sinned. What it means is that you understand who you are in Christ, through Christ, and by Christ, and so you are humble and compassionate toward others, but you are not their doormat. You are not their doormat. Glory. It's a just good word. Some of you are looking at your situations right now, and you're questioning why you've allowed yourself to go through this so long. I'm going to give you this quick example of what happened with me in the last few weeks, and then we're going to go into prayer. As an attorney, I represent clients statewide. So I took on this criminal defense case of this lady, and both she and her husband had been arrested at the same time. And it was really a false arrest situation where the officer pulled them over and he brutalized her. And for those who are wondering, no, she was not African American. She's actually a white older lady. And the officer let me just tell you what he did. He yelled at her, and she's an elderly lady. She's trying to ask a question. He took his boot and he kicked this lady so hard, she's not armed or anything, that he swept her off her feet and broke her leg with the one kick. Broke her tibia, broke her fibula, and she lost her bladder. She peed on herself. He had kicked her so hard. And her elderly husband was standing there, and the other officer told him he better not move. Think about that. She's screaming out in pain, "You broke my leg." And he laughed at her. And the husband can't even do anything. He had to watch them take his wife away on the stretcher to the hospital, because he did. The officer did break her leg. And she had to go into immediate surgery. So they, to cover up for what they'd done, charged these people. And they had a different attorney, and so the husband, both of them had the same attorney. So the husband went through some kind of deal because he was just afraid of the police and of them doing further things with them. The wife discharged that attorney and hired me. She didn't want to plead guilty. And so they tried to give her this deal, where they just wanted her to give an apology letter to the police officer. Now, you heard what I told you happened. There was nothing for her to apologize for. But they knew some stuff was going to come down the road against them for what they did to her. So they wanted this apology letter. And, of course, in addition to criminal, I practice civil matters, which includes criminal civil rights. So they knew this was going to be a lawsuit down the road. So they wanted her to give a letter of apology because they're going to use that later, right, to say, well, in a civil rights suit, she said this was her fault. She apologized. But I know the value God has set on me as an attorney. In all my years of practicing criminal defense, which I became an attorney after my brother's incarceration, I had a prior career in nursing, but so I became an attorney later in life, and I've represented clients all over the state of Florida. I've only lost one case, and I'm representing that same person now on the appeal. That's how much he and his family trusted that I'd done right by them in the criminal case, that they believed, hey, we don't want anyone else but you to represent the appeal because we believe it's going to be overturned because the judge withheld, you know, multiple material, would not let me present material evidence. So the state prosecutor had made this offer to the prior attorney and everything, and they wanted to take it. But I knew my worth. Because God called me to being an attorney after my brother's incarceration. And you may say, how could God call you to that? Because the call on my life is to fight injustice. My office is evangelism. My purpose is to fight injustice. So the way to do that was to become an attorney. So when I spoke with the prosecutor, I knew already the value that God has set on my life. Is this helping someone right now? So think about that sweet deal. We'll drop the whole charge. Won't give you probation. You won't have to plead guilty or no contest. And when I say I've won every case but one, that's not plea deals. That's not pleading no contest. That's not pleading not guilty. All of my clients have walked away free with not guilty pleas entered. Oh, look at how sweet that is, ma'am. All you need to do is just write a letter. It even got to the point where I said, well, what do you want in the letter? It could just be anything. We just want an apology. But I knew my worth. So trial was scheduled to commence September 21st. Did you hear what I said? Was scheduled to commence September 21st. This past Friday, we had to go before the judge. This is the last time. It's called a calendar call where you tell the judge, I'm ready for trial, each side. So they asked me, the prosecution asked me, 2 days, I think it was, before that. Well, you know we got the calendar call coming up. Yes. Are you ready for trial? Yes. You ready? Yes. I've seen all of the evidence. I've seen all of the discovery. I've listened to the 911 tape you provided. Yes, I'm ready to go to trial. Well, I'm ready to. Okay. On Friday morning, because I don't recommend this letter be written. On Friday morning, calendar call was scheduled for 9 a.m. On Friday morning at 8:30 a.m., I spoke with the prosecutor because we had a call before the calendar call. And he said to me, did you get my message yesterday? Because remember, we'd spoken 2 days before. Stay with me here. And I'm going to go into prayer. I said, no, I didn't. What was it? Oh, I sent you a message that I know prods the case. In other words, he dropped the case. So let's just go on to this hearing with the judge now, and I'll do it on record. If I, think about it, had acquiesced or agreed, if I had not known the value God had already set on me, then my client would have had a guilty plea. Or my client would have had the charge dropped. But with this letter of apology that they would have tried to use when I sued them later, for the civil rights violation against my client. So the charge was dropped. The client was astonished. I brought you in, and in a few weeks, this is the result you got. The husband didn't get that result. But I knew already the value that God had established for me. And I was going to give you another example, but time had run of a six-figure settlement I got for a church, an insurance settlement, where the insurance company had only paid them a few thousands and told them they were not going to pay anymore. Even though the policy was in effect, that wasn't in dispute. The policy was two or three times over what they were asking. That wasn't in dispute. Someone ran off the road and hit their church. That wasn't in dispute. But the insurance company felt like they were in a lower neighborhood, a black neighborhood. And I'm saying that because that's what they told them. And this is all your church is worth. But I came in, and I made my demand. I gave them a deadline. I didn't even have to take them to court. Everything I asked, I got for them. I already knew the work God had established for me. Do you know it today? Because once you learn it about yourself, you'll never go back to settling for less again. Let's go into prayer. Hallelujah. Father, we praise you today. Oh, God, we glorify you for this powerful word here today. For us to understand, to know and live the value, the work that you've already established for us, so that we will quit settling for less. Because once we quit settling for less, we'll stop having to be bitter, depressed, and jaded about living in less. We'll stop having to be envious of others who are living in the more. We'll stop being jealous of others who are living in the more, living in the houses we want, driving the cars we want, having the husband or wife type relationships that we want, having the degrees that we want, having, Father God, the money that we want, because we all understand that the same God, being you, who blessed them, is the same God who already preordained the same type of lives for us, but it is our own indecisiveness, our own choice to live with less, to accept less, to have valued ourselves for less that has us where we are right now. Oh, help us, God. Help us, God, to understand that we're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people called out to have testimonies, set apart to have testimonies, being able to testify of your goodness, which inherently means we are set apart for blessings, set apart for victory, set apart for abundance, set apart for more than enough. Oh God, help us today to understand who we are, to straighten up our shoulders, straighten up our backs, walk around with our heads held high, not in pride, but in the victory of you. In the name of Jesus, help us to live our work. Help us to live our work that you've already set for us. In Jesus' name we say amen. Come on and say, I will live the worth that God already set for me. I know I am valuable. My life has value. My words have value. My looks have value. My mind has value. And from this day forward, I will never live in less than again. Oh, worship the Lord as I do the altar call, and then I will end with your task for today. For those of you who are unsaved, for those of you who are backslidden, for those of you who have been accepting less in any area of your life, for those of you who have been walking around with that cloud over you of whatever legacy your family passed down that was a negative legacy or generational curse, please repeat after me. Father, I come in Jesus' name. I repent and ask forgiveness of my sin. I ask forgiveness of settling for less. I ask forgiveness of holding on to what I should have let go. I ask forgiveness for envying others when you're the same God who has the same for me. Now, Lord, I ask you to come into my life now and be my Savior. Now I confess that you are the Christ. Glory. Now I confess that I am saved. I am rededicated to you. I am more than enough. I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar person with testimony and victory, and I will live the value that you already set for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the family of Christ, and welcome to your life of more than enough. Make sure you're in a good Bible-believing church, that you're spending time with God daily. That is how you stay saved. Don't miss your daily fire devotion here with me, Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Eastern, followed by texting the message DF to phone number 33222 right now, or follow online on blogtalkradio.com. Now, our topic for today's daily fire devotion is live the value that God has already set on you. Your task for today is in every conversation, in every interaction, in every plan and every thought, to know who you are and no longer accept less. You don't have to be mean to people. You don't have to be rude. But when they are mistreating you, when they are devaluing you, just look them straight in the face. Or if you're on the phone, let it be silent first to get their attention and say to them, what you have said to me or what you did is no longer acceptable. I'm not even going to blame you because it was my choice to stay in this situation. But I am now telling you that I understand who I am through my royal priesthood and lineage in Christ, and I will no longer accept this. Either you fix it, or whatever interactions we have will have to end. Stop settling for less. You are more than enough. I'll see you tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Eastern on Daily Fire. Now,
you're a kid. I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment. This song is for you.
Today's a new day, but there is no sunshine. Nothing but clouds, and it's dark in my heart, and it feels like a cold night. Today's a new day. Where are my blue skies? Where is the love and the joy that you promised me? Tell me it's alright.
I'll be honest with you.
I almost gave up, but a power that I can't explain fell from heaven like a shower.
When I think how much better I'm gonna be when